Hi, I'm Laura.
Hey, I'm Stefan, and you're listening to Attributed, a podcast library by DreamData.
The purpose of it is to store and share all the knowledge that we have gathered across DreamData employees through our LinkedIn Lives, podcasts, and webinars.
The typical topics you'll find here can be stuff like marketing,
sales,
B2B ads,
operations,
social selling maybe.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, everybody. Today, we're live together with Megan Keeney-Anderson, Head of Marketing at Jasper. I think it's one of the most hyped SaaS companies right now. At least I'm very hyped about it. And every time I see you guys in conferences or you speaking on stage, most of the companies do listen up because AI is here and we need to figure out how do we GDPR it or how do we secure it and all that kind of stuff because everybody's excited, but we don't completely know how to make it totally work. I'm really excited, Megan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. I am so happy to be here. I love your energy. I love your excitement about the topic. So let's dive right in.
Absolutely. So real quick about you and your background coming into Jasper AI. Everybody's very excited.
Yeah, sure. So I have been kind of a career marketer. I started in the nonprofit space and then I pivoted to tech, frankly, during another big time of sea change. Kind of social media was starting to take off and I saw how great the internet was at galvanizing action. And so I wanted to study everything I could about it. So I pivoted into tech. Worked at a company called HubSpot for about 10 years of my career and really saw that grow. And, you know, that was a company that was selling to marketers. And it's nice to be a marketer selling to marketers because you feel the pain. And then Jasper came along and it, you know, at first I was kind of like, guys, I'm kind of comfortable where I am. I had joined this amazing little startup and but they showed me the technology. And this was before ChatGPT came out. It was before kind of AI became so mainstream, at least generative AI did. And I was like, okay, this feels consequential. This feels like it's going to change a lot of stuff. And I really like good stories in a time of change. And so that's what drew me into the company and the challenge.
It's really, really, especially before ChatGPT, because all of us started to know about AI, like generally
around this time a year ago
when they came out. Yeah. So how long before was that? So when did you join Jasper?
So Jasper started in January of 2021. And then I joined it in, and they had like immediate traction. I mean, they were solving a common problem that a lot of people had, staring at a blank page, not able to, you know, come up with what's next. So yeah, so it started in 2021. And then I joined it in September of 2022. So it already had a year under its belt. And was really sort of gearing up to figure out what the next chapter was. And then in November, AI just exploded. And so the last year has really been about how do we figure out, you know, the stage that we're in? How do we differentiate in an ever-growing crowded field? And then how do we help our customers kind of navigate what comes next? Because it's not just rapid change for the companies building the technology. It's rapid change for the companies deploying it, using it, figuring out how to change their strategies around it.
So exciting. So most of the times when we speak with our speakers on LinkedIn Lives, we speak about what can we automate? How can we use technology to help us do things faster, especially for marketers?
Yeah.
And this is Jasper's key use case to work with marketers for marketers, or are there more?
Yeah, no, we're really laser focused on marketers right now. We think that in the world of AI, there are sort of horizontal solutions where you can do a little bit of everything and sort of they sell to, you know, all sorts of different users. But then there's these vertical co-pilots that really get deep and specialized in a certain discipline. So with Jasper right now, you can do, you know, almost everything that you need to do as a marketer, but then also it's sort of being trained on what works in marketing. Mm-hmm. So as you use it more, it will learn your brand, it will learn your company in a secure way. And then we just added analytics, which is like a very big, exciting moment. And those analytics will help you sort of learn from patterns of what's worked in your marketing. So we've really zeroed in on like that unique need. Down the line, like we may expand into other verticals, but our whole approach is get really good at solving a specific problem in a deep, comprehensive way and then we might move on.
Right. I'm very curious that since there is so much automation and AI in Jasper, are you the one-man band in the whole company because you've got Jasper for you?
I'm not a one-man band. I have an amazing team around me. It's a relatively moderate team. There's about 12 marketers at Jasper. And, you know, I think the truth of the matter is automation, AI, it's not a good replacement for a team. I prefer to look at it, and I know Jasper does, as like a tool in the hands of creatives or a tool in the hands of marketers, in the same way that calculators helped, you know, mathematicians and spreadsheets helped accountants and digital cameras helped photographers. None of those tools could sort of do this on their own. Genuine marketing takes, good marketing takes, strategy, original ideas, human lived experience, stuff that AI just isn't ever going to be good at.
Yeah.
So, you know, it definitely has allowed us to do more. I humbly think that we sort of produce and are like, the US saying is we sort of fight out of our weight class, right? Like we do more with our small team, but I absolutely need the members of that team to bring all of their brilliance and ideas and strategy to the equation.
Fantastic. So when you started the process of setting up marketing for Jasper, where did you start? What was the most important pieces for you?
Yeah, within Jasper, so how we do our own marketing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for us, we really made a shift in how we spend our time. We used to be kind of on the content treadmill. We would, you know, produce a bunch of blog posts, produce a bunch of content, and that content still gets produced. But now, as AI has allowed us to spend less time on that content treadmill, we've sort of reinvested our time up front. So we put a lot of work into the creative brief or the positioning document or the strategy brief that will build out a whole campaign. So that means doing original research, interviewing, you know, subject matter experts, understanding our audience really well, pouring all of that raw intelligence into a source brief, and then being able to spin up any number of formats and campaign elements off of that brief. So that's where the work has shifted. We kind of are front loading the focus. And then on the other end, we are spending more time on, and I think we even need to go further on this, on editing and quality control and distribution strategy. So, you know, if you sort of think about, you know, content is more than just typing words on a page, right? If you think about it as that full spectrum from ideation, research, composition, editing, distribution, we're sort of taking the weight out of the middle and hoping to redistribute it to, you know, either bookend to make sure that that content is the best possible thing we could put out. And that's going to become more important in a time when anyone can create volumes of content.
Yeah. Yeah. And if companies were to learn, because we're so much in the learning space, and I think we're going to be many years ahead, where should they shift their focus into having person do something and having help from AI? It's, what is it that we should push out?
Yeah, I was almost thinking we should make like a graphic of this, because we get asked this question quite a bit from our customers. Where I would focus your people is in, you know, the places where humans are uniquely strong and the places where AI is uniquely weak, right? So that is original research, firsthand experience, talking to your customers, right? Understanding them, pouring all of that intelligence into a document, as I just said. I would spend it in true creativity, new ideas, new angles. The thing about AI, as brilliant as it is it learns from patterns, right? So there's not a lot of originality there. That's where I would put people. And I would put people, you know, in the role of, get them, you know, off the content treadmill and put them into the editor seat, right? Really cultivate that judgment for what does quality look like? How do we push a piece of content further? And so, you know, I talk a lot about marketing, but you can take that same filter and look at other disciplines, right? Yeah. You know, what are the parts of your work that require original insight, human judgment, you know, face-to-face research and, you know, learning and understanding? Put your people there.
Yeah.
And then use AI for anything that is, you know, a lot of mundane tasks, you know, taking one format and translating it into another, or adapting content from one audience to another, those sorts of things. Find out where the friction is, where the heaviest work is, that sort of takes the least amount of human intelligence, and put AI there.
Yeah. Very interesting. We're going to jump into discussing some of the automation tactics that worked for Jasper and probably maybe did not, of some stuff that you have learned. Or maybe just give us examples of where do you use AI in your marketing strategies or in sales if you're doing that, because I took a demo with you guys to have a chat about sales. I said, what's up? So how can we use this? GDPR compliant, I've heard. Because can you just take long calls and help me out with that? So that could be also something to do, but we're talking marketing right now.
We can certainly talk sales as well. It's so related. It's all about communication.
And it goes closer and closer. But so far, we promised the topic of to learn from you guys. If we were thinking about, like, what are the things that you automated that you think worked out so well, and I do it over and over again, saves me so much time?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example of something that worked really well, an example of something that we probably wouldn't do again.
Yeah.
So something that worked really well, we had a big product launch to pull off, and we had to pull it off very, very quickly, right? And the thing about a product launch is you're trying to make as big of an impact as possible. So you want as many different types of ways of engaging with that news as humanly possible. You've got press releases, you've got 1,000 social posts on all different channels, you've got blog content, you've got executive posts, you've got, you know, all sorts of things, press release. And so we have really integrated AI pretty heavily into our go-to-market for new campaigns or new products, again, by aligning everybody on a source document of like, hey, this is the message. Nice. This is who this product is being built for. This is what it does, what problem it solves. This is what makes it differentiated in the space. And the reason why AI works really well for that is it brings everybody together around the core idea. Mm-hmm. And then everything you create ties back to that idea. It stems from that. So there's greater consistency and alignment and positioning in all the content you create around a launch, which is really important for product marketing, for giving your product the best chance at kind of breaking through the noise. So we've loved AI as a way to accelerate our ability to tell the world about a new feature and get the entire company kind of aligned. This expands beyond marketing, because we want everybody at our company, and they all want to be able to share the news on their own social channels, but we don't want like the canned tweet that everybody sends out and it's exactly the same and it just clogs up everybody's feeds. And we don't want people to be, you know, completely off message with what we're trying to say. So we'll upload that source doc. We give everybody in the company access to it. And then they just go to their LinkedIn and they can call up Jasper right there and help sort of write that post. So intern to executive, we're all marching the same way. That works really well.
A follow-up question. So if somebody picks up that message from positioning that you have created and wants to spin off their own post or their own message around it in an email or something, does it read from the personality as well? Or does it just spin it off? Like, yeah, how does it work?
Yeah. So we've built Jasper in a way that you can attach both like a source knowledge base to it, which is sort of the positioning of how we talk about this product, and attach tones. So I took a speech that I wrote that I really liked. I uploaded it into Jasper. Jasper learned the way that I like to write and my tone. So now whenever I publish, my default tone is set to Megan, right? If I'm ghostwriting for an executive, or if, you know, somebody on the sales team wants to write in their own tone, they can craft their own tone and kind of attach it to that source knowledge. So it's malleable in that way and allows you, you know, again, like never, and this actually gets into my second point of like what not to do. I think every piece of content still needs that finessing, that like making sure even when it's built with your tone, there are changes that I make to say, that's actually not really me. So there's still this dance between the AI and the creator, but it does accelerate in a massive way.
Yeah. And before we move on to what usually your clients are doing that maybe they should stop doing, We've got Joshua asking us a question about product launches as well. So what are the best practices to move from public beta to a full market launch?
In terms of launching an AI product or just in general with product marketing?
I think it's mostly in general with product marketing, as far as I know, Josh. But Josh, let us know in the comments, unless it's, then we will adjust.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say is, because I built part of my career, I was leading product marketing for HubSpot. And so I think about this stuff a lot. I think launches are, too often we think about a launch as like a single moment in time. And we're like, oh, we have a big party and then it's over. And the next day we return to normal. I much prefer launches that build on themselves. And so this idea of going from a public beta to full availability is fantastic because you've already got a subset of users mm-hmm. who in the beta have tested this product out. Maybe they've given you feedback. Maybe they've got great testimonials. Incorporate them into your public launch. Incentivize them to, you know, share your launch materials with them and say, hey, this is like just for you right now, but tomorrow or next week, we're going to go out in a big way to the public with this. And we would love to share your stories of using the product. I would make sure that you're kind of building each step along the way to create a new original story. And that public launch story can be about the experience your beta users have had.
Yeah. It's very similar that what we usually do at DreamData as well. We had a launch today with LinkedIn ads engagement data. And we had it in beta for a really long time, spoke with clients yeah. had access to it and stuff. And we even build around the customer stories that when you've got a launch, it's not just them being proud, but there are some other people saying that it's not just us who thinks it's cool, but yeah. they tried this, they think it's cool. That's why we did it.
Yeah. I before my time at Jasper, one of our marketers, Austin Distill, had put together, there was this moment in a lot of demos where people would see the AI working for the first time. And remember, this is before ChatGPT, before everybody sort of saw the text go on screen. And there would be these like genuine reactions of shock, right? And so he pieced together with their permission, like that wow moment of like, yeah. oh my God, you know, and just yeah. back to back to back and made it this incredible teaser video for when the product was rolling out to a greater audience. And that just always breaks through more when you see genuine reactions, genuine people excited about this thing that you've made.
I wonder what it is. And if yes, it will yeah. depend on me when I yeah. see it in action. Oh, that's really cool. So if we move over to what people should not be doing with mm-hmm. AI when trying to automate stuff.
Here's the thing. So sometimes we see people, understandably, they're overstretched. Maybe they're like a one-man shop or one-woman shop and they don't have a full marketing team. And so they see AI and how well it can create, and they think, okay, good, that'll be my marketing arm. So I'll in fact, we used to have a template inside Jasper called the one shot blog post, and people would use it as that. They would just be like, topic, write me a blog post, and they would grab it and they would hit publish and it would be out there. We've since changed it to the one shot blog draft because to try to just wording matters when you do these things and you're trying to teach people responsible use. Because of course they used it as a full blog post because we told them it was a full blog post. Yeah. But it's really important to not just rip and publish AI content for a number of reasons. You know, ethical ones and practical ones. The ethical ones are AIs can string a beautiful sentence together, but it's pretty shallow in terms of its actual knowledge of the subject matter. So if you just put out AI content, you're kind of just putting out a shallow blog post that's not that good. Secondly, AI can come with things like hallucinations or biases that it's picked up that you really need to be careful. I have a responsibility to be careful that you're not putting that stuff out into the world. And the practical reasons are it's not a volume game anymore in content. Google, a lot of people, you know, believe that volume was important. And I just, no matter what, I have to get out 10 blog posts this month because each one of those posts is sort of a front door into my company and Google will find it and I'll get business that way. It does not work that way anymore. Google has come out very clearly and said they are looking for content with, you know, true authority. They're looking for content that is, they have quality scores for the content that they rank. And you know, just being a content farm and putting out a ton of content is not going to work anymore. And so I think that good, otherwise, like good, hardworking people who are still thinking that the world of search runs on volume of content and keyword rankings, they sometimes fall into the trap of using AI to just churn out as much content as humanly possible. And that's, it's not good content. It's also just not effective content. It won't work in any way.
No. And people started to buy in a different way as well. It both shines through if it's written. But I actually, funny enough, just half an hour before I came onto this live, two of my colleagues were saying, let me just test this out. Was this written by you or a ChatGPT? And it's pretty obvious which one is those.
Yeah. And in fact, we have a rule. We put together a policy inside Jasper for standards of responsible use of AI in our own marketing. And you can actually find it. We made it public if you want an example to follow for your own company, although certainly sit down with your own legal teams and your own company to make your own calls. But if you go to jasper.ai/ethics, you can see a copy of it there. And one of the things that we have in that policy is a transparency statement that we put on our website around how and when we use AI and how and when we don't use AI. And the rule that I have put out for my team is we will never hit publish on something that is AI only. There has to be human input, human research, human review of that content in order for it to meet the quality standards for our company. And we're an AI company, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're saying that, I would also, you know, suggest that you take a similar policy of making sure that everything you put out is a blend of human intelligence and artificial.
I love that. And it gives so much credibility for you as a company as well, that you already have something like that in place. And a lot of companies are just starting off. So everything that comes out of AI seems to be, oh, that's kind of good enough. And we've got a similar question from Lewis as well. So what's in your opinion the 80-20 in an organization does not use AI to start doing and not to get lost in the noise of all the SaaS products, AI solutions, and so on? So where should we focus?
Yeah, Lewis, it's a great question. I see this a lot because companies are starting to get pressure from their boards and their peers to be like, how are you using AI? We got to, you know, like, let's stick an AI solution in there. And they kind of skip the step where you figure out what's the problem that you want AI to solve. And so we see a lot of experimentation. There's so many tools out there. It's a wonderful time to explore different tools. There's so many tools out there, from video to text to visual to building, you know, bots. And it can be tempting to just play around with all of them. But what we found is that the companies that get beyond the experimentation stage are the ones that have started with strategy first and figured out what is the thing in our operations that we want to accelerate or think differently about. And by finding that problem, choosing the tool that best suits that problem. So it may be that, hey, we produce a ton of video and we spend a lot of our time resizing and taking different cuts of that video and re-promoting it. And so what we really need is a tool that will help us do that, right? I saw a question about recommendations for kind of video in the chat. Oh, yeah. So we use a tool called Wistia, which is a longstanding video tool. But what they've done is they've added AI in a way that will automatically take the cuts that you want to use to share on social, or automatically skip over some of the editing or accelerate some of the editing moments in video. But find that problem and then find the tool that suits that problem. And then the other thing I would think about over time, because in the beginning, you'll start with a bunch of different tools. I would think about, you know, are there vertical copilots that consolidate a bunch of use cases so you don't have the sprawl of tools? Yeah. And you can have kind of one system that is integrated and brings your team together as you get more and more of these needs defined.
Yeah. When your clients start to use Jasper, what are the numbers that they're seeing that are becoming better, more or less? What kind of do they see more quality? Do they see more quantity? What are the numbers that usually companies should focus on when starting to use AI?
So there's a progression as you adopt AI in terms of the results that you can see. And so usually we see companies start and the outcomes that they see are like all efficiency based. Mm-hmm. So it's all, hey, we got through this work faster. We saved 5 hours, 10 hours, you know, 2 days in this process. And for starters, that's a great reward for many companies that are strapped, right? But that's just the beginning, right? Because we find that marketers don't just want to have, you know, faster outputs. They want to have better outcomes. And so the next stage of that is, what did all that efficiency get you in terms of better outcomes for your business? So, you know, we've talked with Morningstar is one of our customers. They've shared publicly that, yes, Jasper saved them time, but more importantly than that, that allowed them to put out more content offers, which led to more downloads, which led to more leads for their sales team, right? And so you sort of get from, I saved a bunch of time, to all that time savings allowed me to create more value for the company. That's sort of the second stage. I think the third stage is where we're headed at Jasper and why we added analytics and insights into our Copilot, which is, how do you then use AI to look at the patterns in your own performance, mm-hmm. and tell you where there's leverage, where there's opportunity, where there are things that could be fixed to create more revenue for your company? And so that's kind of the third stage that I think about is, you know, using AI assistants to point out, hey, this is your highest performing content. Let's take that and turn that in, remix it, turn it into a full campaign because we know it's got strength in the audience. Here's your lowest performing content. And with one click, because Jasper's been kind of studying what works for your company, we can fix it to make it higher performing. I think that's the third stage that we're just starting to get to. And I think that that's what this year is going to be all about, is the shift from speed to performance.
Right. And it's kind of that type of automation that we speak a lot about also, like to figure out what is actually working, do more of that, or try to automate those pieces. So when you get help from Jasper to look into that type of analytics, what kind of analytics are you looking at? Is just content? Anything else?
Yeah. So, you know, we start off by looking at content, tying into Google Analytics and being able to just show you on your website what content is doing well and what's not. Over time, we're going to be linking into some of the revenue sources. So, you know, the marketing automation platforms, the CRMs that will show you when a download turns into revenue, when it turns into a purchase, and be able to start to tie that back to marketing as well. Well, our goal here is not to, like, we don't want to be an analytics company. Mm-hmm. We want to leverage the data that is already out there in all of your systems, pull that together and read it and understand it, and give you that insight that's sitting there hidden in plain sight in your data. So as we integrate with more and more kind of data providers, those insights will get richer. They'll get more, you know, tied to your pipeline or your business's bottom line. And we're excited for that change.
Yeah, this is very, very exciting. And most of the companies look into that. We've got so much data, we just don't know what to do with it.
Yes. I deal with that problem all the time where I'm like, I've got so many dashboards. I've got so many spreadsheets. I could stare at this until I'm blue in the face, you know, data everywhere, but not an insight to feed me, right? And so I think it's, you get a blindness when you're staring at so much data to understand, like, what is this data actually telling me that I should do differently? Mm-hmm. That's the gap that we want to bridge. And again, much like with content, this is going to take some human intervention, right? Because AI is going to make some recommendations based on what it sees in the data. You need to have the gut check as a human to say, does that fit with where our strategy is? Is that the right recommendation? Because, you know, you can optimize something until you're blue in the face. There's always a way to optimize something, but you have to ask, are you optimizing for the right thing? And, you know, maybe you're generating a ton more signups, but maybe they're the wrong audience, that kind of thing. So again, I think even in the analytics world, there'll be this necessary human and AI interplay that we need to, you know, develop the skill for.
So fantastic. This is very exciting. Going too fast. It's like, but you are in front of it all. But imagine how many years it would take for most of the companies to also adapt this, like to become better, to become human, still back with AI and to start looking into that as analytics. Yeah. Really, really cool. But Megan, where can people find more information if they want to get even better educated in AI and how to help in marketing with AI?
Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of AI content right now. I think the challenge is finding the really good stuff and finding the signal for the noise. At Jasper, we've been working really hard to put out some quality, like marketing-centered education. So we've got a series of courses you can take, certifications. As I mentioned, you know, we're building in public. So our entire AI policy, you can download and learn from. So certainly you can go to our site. There's also an organization based out of the States called the Marketing AI Institute that I go to a lot. A guy named Paul Reitzer had founded it. It's been around for years. They're a really good resource and community as well for questions. So those are the two that I would recommend. And then certainly you can find me on LinkedIn. You know, I'll share what I can. And, you know, we're all kind of stumbling through this and figuring it out along the way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for today. We're looking forward to all the new stuff that's coming out from Jasper.
This was a blast. I really appreciate the invite. And thank you all for coming and for the great questions.
We hope you like listening to us. Subscribe to our podcast and the ones that we have been guests on.
And if you have any feedback for us, just do let us know. And should there be a guest that you think we should be talking to, then like pitch us.
We're looking forward to seeing you.